to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris, we're talking to Raymond B. Palmer, son of Raymond A. Palmer, and Tim Beckley, talking about a fascinating gentleman who was a pioneer in UFO research. All right, so what your dad told me, Ray, is that the typesetter said, I didn't set that. I didn't do this. I couldn't do that horrible work. Yet, according to Ray, the slug, the identification, was from that typesetter. The suggestion being that maybe they made it difficult for him to get that information down accurately. What do you think?
Oh, well, that's the same story I heard. So I have no, again, that was before my time, so I have no information about that. And I, so, again, that's your basic account is what I've read about that and heard about over the years.
Right. So the other thing is, here was another story that your dad told, that he was, I guess, bringing the proofs down to the printer. And he was driving in Chicago. And this was your sister with him at the time? Do you know what I'm talking about?
It could be, yes.
Okay. And they had a near accident that someone deliberately tried to run him off the road. What do you know about that?
Just what my dad wrote. Again, that's an accurate portrayal of what he wrote, yes. But again, firsthand, I don't know. But Nick, I am going to call my cousin in Vegas. And that was her mother. I'm going to ask her about that.
That sounds fascinating and frightening. Mm-hmm. And supposedly the person who tried to run your dad and your sister off the road was laughing after it happened. The implication being made with these two stories is that the inner earth dwellers influenced that typesetter to make mistakes, caused that driver to want to run your dad off the road. Is that where I'm getting at?
That's right.
Did anyone ever look at the mistakes and analyze them and see if there was some sort of message being sent or a pattern or something?
Not that I'm aware of. I just can't, like I say, one of the issues that they had did, maybe in Amazing Stories, maybe in some other one, he did reproduce some of the original galleys with mistakes on them. And I can't tell you which one right now.
You know, there was also a rumor going around that towards the end, the FBI had actually visited your dad and told them to stop printing the Shaver mystery articles. Do you know anything about that?
That I've heard about, too, yes. Oh, okay, we're getting back on just a little tangent here. We're talking about interviews. Several years ago, you were not there in 1975. I would say probably I'm not sure. There was four men that they claimed they were from the University of Stevens Point, and they came and interviewed, and they probably got 10, 12 hours of tape on the Shaver mystery. And the last time they were there, they said, we're going to come back one more time because we just got a couple things we want to tie down. And they never showed up again. And then a while later, this was the Watergate time period, Dad came to me and showed me a picture on the paper. And there's a guy with a beard, dark hair, was one of the FBI tape specialists that were looking at the Watergate tapes. And Dad said to me, does this guy look familiar? It looks like the guy that was here interviewing us. So that was, I'm not sure who was or wasn't, but it's just strange. These so-called college students were going to do a paper or something on my father. They came four nights in a row, said they'd come back, and then they disappeared, and we never heard anything else. But all I think I know for sure is there's 10 or 12 hours worth of tapes out there, and somebody has them, which would be really interesting to find. So maybe even on your show, if you could mention that, we might, because there you got firsthand talking to my dad.
Well, we have a worldwide audience, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're heard on a number of radio stations, including a New York radio station, WVNJ. And I suppose if anyone out there has any information, we'd love to hear it. I'd also like to see who has recordings of Ray Palmer and Richard Shaver. Now, I don't have the recordings of the interviews I did with your dad or with Mr. Shaver, but I know other people did. I also know that I arranged to have your dad interviewed on WCAU in Philadelphia for an all-night occult radio show on a few occasions. So we kind of hope there that maybe there are recordings of that. Of course, that information was pretty basic. We were catering to a general audience that really wasn't attuned to the Shaver mystery and all this stuff. So maybe that's where it is.
Yeah, there is a very famous audio tape of Long John Neville interviewing both Ray Palmer and Richard Shaver.
Yeah, that one was available.
In fact, we give it out and so forth for many years now. And I think even Fate magazine, I gave Phyllis a copy, and she runs an ad for it in Fate from time to time.
I was just going to mention that, but also I have, when Dad and Richard did the John Neville show, they had a tape recording running in the phone office where they were. So we have the tape on this side of the recording, too. And we hear on this side of the recording piece, because they were talking about they had interference where they couldn't talk to each other all the time. And it was suggested, well, okay, maybe the Daryl are tampering with the telephone lines. But again, I have the one that Gray Barker sent me, I believe. Or Tim, you might have sent it to me too, of the show. But I also have a reel-to-reel tape of the one that Dad made when Richard was with him at the telephone company, with their remarks too, which are a little different, that are on the tape.
I don't want to give out any book ideas here, but I will. I think someone needs to write the biography, an authorized biography of Raymond A. Palmer, because he has such an interesting life.
There's been several out there, but they always want to put a spin on it a little bit. And as I said, Dad, everything Dad did, he wrote down, so it's mainly a research project that somebody needs to do and put down. And then you get it, like, say, straight from the horse's mouth.
Well, it'd be fascinating if they don't have the spin. I think that would be great to do something like that. Let's go on to more of the experiences. Now, we hear about all these crazy things happening with the inner earth and people being interfered with. Did anything ever happen to you in your life that indicates some kind of effort by someone or something to exert this kind of control?
The only thing personally, like I say, in my younger years, I didn't pay a lot of attention. I grew up with Richard. But I would say probably when I get my 30s, I started reading all the Shaver material. And again, some of that, because I knew what he was talking about and was familiar with it, then I thought, well, okay, some of this sounds like it's really real. And the farther I got into it, I started getting a terrible pain in my shoulder. And it got worse and worse, and I finally stopped reading the material, and the pain went away. And then I didn't read the material for 3 or 4 years later, and then I started into it again, got into that kick, and that same pain came back again. So I just, then I remember reading some of my dad's articles, well, same thing happened to people like that something happens. I said, well, I guess that is a very good deterrent to stop reading, because I certainly didn't like that pain. But again, you can't know how it probably came, but that did happen to me. So that's as far as the personal thing, yes, that's coincidence, or not, the pain wasn't
that's
unreal.
That's pretty bizarre.
But bizarre, yes.
Wow. Yeah, that's not a very good inducement to keep reading.
So if it's true that you start believing or really getting into it, you get attacked, or it's just, I don't know. All I know is it happened that way, and like I say, when I first started reading, I didn't really think there was anything really special about it, because, again, growing up with it, it's not special to you. But then as I got into it, I said, well, some of the stuff seems real.
Did you ever decide to engage in your own investigation of this stuff?
What do you mean by investigation, I guess?
Trying to follow up the stories, trying to see what was going on, even if you weren't going to be a writer, at least accumulate the information.
No. Every once in a while, I still do look at some of the, because they still have some of the letters that were sent to Dad by people. And some are very interesting, yes. But that's about as far as I go. Nothing new, though, no. And sometimes when I'm talking, I used to travel quite a bit. And again, just talking to travelers, and we get into different subjects. I would find that some people have same experiences. Like, same, I used to fly quite a bit, and I used to talk to pilots a lot about flying saucers. If we had long enough time, most of the time they don't want to talk to you at first. But if you had a long enough time to talk to them, and they realized that you weren't really not a skeptic or something that made fun of them, the ones that saw something would eventually say, yeah, I've seen something like that too.
You know what? We'll get into so much more of this coming up with Raymond B. Palmer and Tim Beckley with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget.
A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
What's better than Mountain House freeze-dried food? Buckets of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Now the freeze-dried guy introduces convenient, easy-to-store Mountain House survival buckets filled with our top-selling items. Each item is sealed in a Mylar-type pouch, and each pouch is neatly packed in clear buckets so you can easily see the contents inside. These Mountain House survival buckets come with well over a 25-year shelf life and are perfect for emergency preparedness, camping, backpacking, or at-home use. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on freeze-dried foods, and choose our 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, 1-month, or 7-day Mountain House Survival Bucket with 32 generous servings starting at just $69.95. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Just sitting back and enjoying the stories of his dad and his own experiences from Raymond B. Palmer. With Tim Beckley, with Gene and Chris, you're in the Paracast, of course, and we continue with our show, hearing all this fascinating stuff and these fascinating tales. Now, at some point in time, when Ziff Davis moved to New York, your dad worked with Kurt Fuller to start Fate magazine. What can you tell us about that?
Well, actually, Fate was started before Ziff Davis left.
Okay.
They had a, I believe they had a storefront bookstore called Venture Books or something. I'm not sure of that. But yes, they, Mom and Dad actually were looking for places to move up in Wisconsin for 4 years prior to that. We have have old pictures of. They had different sites they were looking to live. So Babbitt was planning to leave Ziff Davis and go on his own prior to that. And he had, as Mom said, Dad was the fair-haired boy back then, and there was many of the editors wanted to go in with him to be a partner with him. And for some reason, he chose Kirk Fuller. I never could quite get the story why he chose Kirk. Maybe because Kirk was more of the businessman and Dad was more of the writer type. But that's how that started. And actually, when it started with Fate Magazine, Mom had to put in most of the money. I still got a lot of the canceled checks for Kirk because at that time, Mary, his wife, got very ill. So Kirk couldn't leave his job. And there was a little secrecy there about him starting the magazine. So that's why Dad had the name Robert Webster in the Fate magazine as the editor. But Robert Webster was my dad. So again, it was, I guess, the stories are a little sketchy, but again, the point was that for a while, Kirk just did not have the money to put in the magazine. And he also had to keep his job at Ziff Davis because of his wife's illness. But then very shortly after that, Kirk paid up his share and they had a pretty good relationship, really.
Now, the question I have here, though, is they eventually split up, and uh-huh. Ray moved his operations to Wisconsin, started his own magazine. In fact, in a sense, one of his publications, Search, was almost a rival to Fate. Was there uh-huh. some kind of falling out between Kurt Fuller and Ray
Palmer? No, they thought, nope, not really falling out. It's just that my dad and mom, this is my mom's story, they thought Kurt and them were going to be living close together. Each one of them. But as it turned out, my dad came up to Wisconsin here, and Kirk didn't want to leave whatever home he had or whatever back then. So it was more of a distance thing than a personal. Because actually, all I can remember as far as Kirk and Mary Fuller is that they had quite a good relation. Mom would actually talk to Mary for a while and everything. And there's sort of a humorous story about Mary Fuller, because Mary Fuller was sort of a proper lady and didn't think much of my dad's shenanigans, as they say.
That's maybe part of the issue that was raised by Jerome Clark, who was once a managing editor of Fate magazine. But go on, please.
So again, Mary didn't think much. They were friends and everything, but she just didn't think about, like, say, my dad's shenanigans. But then shortly before Mary died, somebody had written in Fate an article about my dad, and Mary called Mom up fit to be tied because she said, none of this is true. So they talked a while, and Mom was quite amused about it because Mom was pretty easygoing. But then she told me, well, Dad finally won Mary over. So that was after Dad died, too. But again, it was some story. It could have been after Kirk died or something like that, where somebody in Fate had made an article about Dad, and Mary finally realized what they're talking about Dad isn't true. It may not say that she still agreed with Dad's position sometimes, but she just wanted the truth to be out. So that sort of tickled my mom that, as he said, Dad finally won her over. Even after he died, he won her over.
I guess that was the impression that Jerome Clark had of the whole thing, that they didn't much like Ray Palmer, and maybe that came from Mary Fuller. Now, I interviewed the Fullers in the 1980s, and I found them to be a really engaging couple, you know, really a lot of fun to talk to. And I had a great interview. That's also one of the interviews, by the way, we are going to publish one of these days. But it was really fascinating to have talked to them and talked to people who were at the pioneers of UFO research. But, of course, this was at a time here where Fate magazine, I guess, did fairly well on the newsstands for many years. But your father had all sorts of problems with his publications, and finally he had to start his own printing plant.
Yes, that was because one of the distributors went bankrupt. And the story is they owed Dad $60,000. And back then, $60,000 was a lot of money. So without that money coming in for his, because he was hiring commercial printers to do his printing. So what they did is they're short on money. So what Dad did is they went down to the bank, borrowed $80,000, and started his own printing plant.
And we have to understand here, $60,000, this is in the 1960s, right?
Yes.
So we're talking about today, what would that be? A half a million?
Yeah. And also, they were short on money, the printers, and they couldn't pay quite as quickly, the printers put them on the back shelf. So it was hard to get publications out on time, too. And I think that was more of the main reason why they just went into their own business themselves, because they wanted to try to get control of their publishing business.
Well, you know, your dad probably had the largest circulation of any regularly published UFO magazine ever, pretty much. And I remember the logo was WISCO, Wisconsin International Sales Company. And that magazine, I used to go up to Times Square and buy from a little dealer there. It was 35 cents. And then later on, I ended up writing for, I don't know how many, 5 or 6 years, I did a regular column for the magazine called On the Trail of the Flying Saucers, which was some of my best material because in those days I was traveling around the country pretty much on a regular basis and interviewing all kinds of strange and unusual people who had all sorts of experiences to tell. And it was a wonderful experience, and Ray's magazine was read far and wide. He had a circulation of almost 40,000, I think, at one point, which for UFO magazine.
Tim, maybe in the early years it was, but you had, if you know that, by U.S. postal regulations, you had to indicate the number of copies you print. You still have those regulations. You look at a print magazine every year, they've got to file a notice with the postal service indicating circulation, how many printed, how many sold. He never had circulation that high, but for a while it was fairly high, yeah.
Yeah, it's fairly high, but again, you could go back to the old magazines and find out what they were. And I can't tell you the exact number either.
I remember the figures, and they were well over 30,000 at one point. Then they started to dip a little when he changed the format into a smaller digest, I think. That probably seemed to be the curse of publishing. For years, I know the distributors kept telling Fate magazine, oh, you got to make it an 8.5 by 11 book because the dealers won't put it out and blah, blah, blah. And they tried that, and it didn't work, and then they went back to the digest size. But I think Reader's Digest and Fate were probably one of the smaller digest size magazines that actually ever survived because most dealers don't have a place to display those small little magazines. Now, your dad's original size, they could slip it in next to like Del Horoscope and all. And that magazine was all over the place, and he distributed himself. He didn't go to a national distributor. He dealt with the wholesalers and the news dealers directly. And having been in the business for many years, that's almost totally unheard of.
And the problem, of course, we used to always have. I had done some work for commercial magazines at the time. We're talking about the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And the thing you'd find here is that unless you were a very large publisher with a large staff to monitor it, those distributors, frankly, would just plain rip you off. We'll get into more of this in a moment.
I've heard that too from my dad, too.
Raymond B. Palmer joining us with Tim Beckley and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Looking back on 2012, we ask ourselves, how did we ever survive? From natural disasters like Hurricane Sandy and the devastating summer drought, to the family hardships brought on by a disastrous economy, our hearts go out to those that have lost everything. At eFoods Direct, we hear from customers every day that are fortunate enough to weather life's storm by having a supply of food on hand. After Hurricane Sandy, Danny from New York City wrote, "Almost all of the grocery stores are closed, but I managed to get my eFoods just in time to be able to help my sister and niece. It is better to be prepared 10 years too early than one day too late. I can warn you, but I can't feed you." Heed the warnings and do what Alex has done. Call 800-409-5633 today or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and build your food supply. It's the best tasting non-GMO long-term storable food on the planet. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
land in Buenos Aires, then are shuttled to Santa Rosa, where a nicely furnished cabin with all amenities, Wi-Fi, executive food and wine, and laundry service awaits. After a good night's sleep, your adventure begins. You're on a golden stag safari for big game. But it's not Africa, it's Argentina. One-on-one guided hunts for water buffalo, cougar, bighorn rams, wild boar, and the biggest stag deer in South America. All gold medal quality. All the action you can handle. Land Rovers, top rental guns with scopes, all food, beverages, hunting guides, ground transportation included, and more, all more affordable than you can imagine. The adventure of a lifetime starts at GoldenStagSafaris.com, the big game hunting ranch, GoldenStagSafaris.com.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Fascinating remembrances of Raymond A. Palmer by his son Raymond B. Palmer and Tim Beckley on the Paracast with Gene and Chris. Exploring right now the publications that Ray had, Flying Saucers Magazine, Search Magazine. And then later, he decided to bring back a lot of the classic Schaefer stories in The Hidden World, which Tim has since republished.
Okay, come back one thing. Tim, were you just talking about Fate Magazine or Flying Saucer Magazine for circulation?
Flying Saucer Magazine.
Oh, okay, because I know Fate was a lot higher than Flying Saucers, yeah.
It was, yeah. I think Fate at one time actually had a circulation of about 135,000. That was including subscriptions, but what had happened there, and that kind of came back to bite them, is that most of the subscriptions were published through that publisher's clearinghouse, where you get, you know, like a dollar, even though they sell the magazine for $3 for a 12-inch subscription, you end up getting a dollar. Well, if you got the advertising, the supporter, like a lot of major magazines, that's fine. It's all just like found money. But the postage rates kept going up and up and up, as did the printing. So at the end, they had no cash coming in, but they still had to send out like 30 or 40,000 subscriptions to the people that had paid the dollar for their magazine.
So basically, you'd be publishing that magazine at a loss.
Absolutely. Well, of course, most magazines, if they don't have advertising, are published to break even or at a loss. I probably packaged and published about 30 magazines over the years. Most of them, if they broke even and only lasted maybe 6 issues, you were doing good. Now, in those days, the national distributors would give you an advance. It would cover your printing and your initial cost. But as sales of pulp magazines disintegrated, well, they wouldn't do that anymore, and they would take back the money that you made on one magazine because the other two that you were publishing didn't make any money, so you'd end up, with no money in the coffer to put out anything eventually after a while.
Yes, that's exactly what happened to my dad when he acquired Space World magazine.
Okay, this was interesting because tell me about this here. Now, after publishing occult magazines, you know, unusual publications, your dad came out with something that was totally out of left field, I guess. He acquired Space World magazine. We're talking here about a scientific publication.
Yes, he acquired it. I can't remember the name. Tim might know him. Seems like Otto Binder, was that or not?
Otto Binder,
yeah,
yes.
Otto Binder was the editor for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And I think again said that was his best-selling magazine for a while. He also did Rocket World. Wasn't it Rocket World?
We did, yeah. What was that? Yeah, Rocket something. Rocket Exchange, yes. that didn't do too well. But again, when he acquired Space Order, it's exactly what you said. It was done by these companies that sold it at such a discount. True, he had 30,000 copy circulation, but they weren't making any money off it. That's why I think Bender gave it to my dad or whatever, acquired it some way, because he had 30,000 copies he had to supply every month, but he wasn't making any money off it. So what my dad did is once he took it over, they ran to 30,000 until subscriptions ran out, and then he went basically, he did newsstands too, but he did basically subscription price, and so the circulation cut down, but the Space Org was a good moneymaker, and which Dad said, that made money to fund his own other operations, like Tim says. Some of the other operations don't make money, but you still want to do them, though.
So, Tim, of course, you got into publishing. Were you heavily influenced by Ray Palmer when you got in your own business?
Well, of course. I mean, if there hadn't been a Ray Palmer, I don't know if there would be a Tim Bentley publishing enterprise today. Ray Palmer and, of course, Greg Barker. Greg Barker, who wrote a column for Ray Palmer called Chasing the Flying Saucers. I guess they both influenced me greatly. I went out and I would search high and low for every issue of Flying Saucers magazine, and Search, which originally, I think, wasn't it titled Mystic?
Okay, yes. It was Mystic first, yes.
Yeah, and
they devoured
every issue. Devoured every issue of those that I could find. Read them cover to cover. And, you know, I still have them, some of them today. They don't hold up well. Those pulp magazines are not exactly collectibles. It's kind of like collecting the Dead Sea Scrolls or something. But I still have quite a few of them up here in, you know, bags of one sort or another to kind of keep the dust off of them.
My trouble is I don't have all the copies. I sure wish I had all the issues that my dad published, but I'm missing some, too.
Well, unfortunately, I was looking around the other day before we decided to do this interview. I do not have a single copy of Flying Saucers or Search or Mystic. I had a good collection. I had all of them at one time. Tim?
Well, I know. My collection got wiped out a couple of times by floods. That's always a big problem. Weather and erosion. I mean, the magazine, you know, we never really thought of comic book collectors, you know, because comics are certainly a lot more valuable than Flying Saucer magazines as collectibles. They would keep them in airtight bags. We never really thought of doing that. We kept them on the back porch or in the cellar or in some storage unit somewhere, and they went pretty quickly. You know,
that's our same problem, too.
They held up so well, and there are quite a few in circulation, but, you know, people still do have them. But a lot of the original people who would have read Flying Saucers and Search magazine, Mystic, of course, has since passed over. And usually the next generation out has no interest in the stuff, and in the dumpster it goes.
Yep, that's been my problem. I do have a story about that, too.
Sure.
Because Shaver was a painter. In his early years, he was an artist, too. And we had many of his paintings here. And like Tim said, they were nice and everything, but they weren't special. So we put them on the back shelf, and then they got damaged by water. And today, if I had all those paintings, I'd be a millionaire. Because I believe Richard Shavers has several people have collections of his paintings, and some have been shown in museums now.
Yes, they have.
But again, for a strange story in Richard Shavers' paintings. If you remember Richard Shavers' paintings, he did many grotesque-type creatures and image, like 3D image upon image. Years ago, I met his daughter. His daughter had never seen her father or anything, and she somehow found about my mother, and she contacted her, and she came over, and we have videos, not videos, but of old 60-millimeter tapes of her father and everything. And we told her what her father looked like and what he was doing. We talked about it. And then we start talking about what she did, and she's a painter, too. And then she showed us some of her paintings. And here you have paintings. Here she never knew her father or anything. Didn't know that he was alive until, because her grandparents said that Richard had died, so she thought he had died. Didn't even know he was alive until she saw his name into a science fiction magazine or a register. And then we see her paintings, and they're the same paintings as his. Grotesque pictures of creatures, multidimensional. So it's just strange that she's doing the same type of painting as Richard did.
Oh, wow. And is there any repository today of any of this vintage Richard Schaefer material?
Well, I guess there has been some museum or something that has had a show on Richard's paintings, but I don't know which one it is.
Well, yeah, there's this fellow who travels around with Schaefer's paintings and does things in the art museums, but it's not a permanent collection in one place. You can Google it on the Internet. I think he's been in New York and Chicago and different places as an exhibitor.
And one other thing about his paintings, again, it's just, like I say, I just saw it as interesting that him and his daughter paint the same thing, and she never knowing this about her father. But also, if you remember, Tim, you remember the book of Waspy, the paintings that are in back there, there's several that are multidimensional, too, with image upon image. And my dad used to say that maybe this is where Schaefer is getting his information, too, from the same source as the Waspy.
You know, when I was 15 years old, I was selling some of your dad's books. He was drop shipping for me. And we sold old Osby. And in those days, even with the leather binding, it was like $10, right?
And we need to explain what an Osby is and what this is all about, because I know Ray sold this very lovely, carefully crafted edition of an Osby. We have to explain that and the story behind it coming up. This is, to be very conservative about it, one fascinating episode. We have Tim Beckley, sometimes called Mr. UFO, and we have Raymond B. Palmer joining us. And Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com. So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
We travel so much, and having a fake TV, well, it gives added peace of mind.
Burglars look for houses that appear to be easy targets. But fake TV can fool even professional burglars into thinking someone is home watching television.
As a recent widow living alone, it gives me great peace of mind to set my fake TV near a window and know that passing motorists and pedestrians will think someone is home watching TV when I'm actually away from home.
Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet, just like a light on a timer.
And they're so easy to use. You just plug them in and they're ready to go. Plus, they're so affordable that we have one upstairs and downstairs.
Fake TV is only $34.95. Order your fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV. The burglar deterrent.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Hattler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Hilly Rose, and I hope that you do listen to the Paracast because you will learn a great deal about the paranormal.
With Gene and Chris, we have Raymond B. Palmer and Tim Beckley, and we've raised a discussion of something that we've never talked about on the Paracast. Now, let either you, Ray, or you, Tim, describe it. What is OWASPE?
Let me just finish by saying that, like I mentioned, when I was in my teens, I used to sell this book, OWASPE, which was about 800 pages, I believe his dad's edition was. Today, I actually have a 2-volume, 1,250-page set. It's the Raymond A. Palmer Tribute Edition of OWASPE, and it still sells to this day. And the organization behind the book is still very active, and they have their own publication and their own museum in New Mexico. Maybe Ray can explain a little bit about the history of the book.
Yes, I could. Again, my dad has it. Actually, the issue that OWASPE that he published, he does have very good account in the back of it how the book originated. But basically, it was written by automatic writing by John Newborough, and it was written at a incredible speed on an old Scholes typewriter. And the story was, Burrow was a dentist, but he was interested in the spiritual.
Spiritualism was very big at that time.
Mm-hmm. And again, I wish I had the paper right in front of me so I don't misquote anything, but again, he had a vision. He had a vision where these lights came into his room and he wanted to know about what the truth was. And these angels or visions told him that for 10 years he had to live a simple lifestyle, not eat meat, help people out whenever he could, and at that time he'd be ready to receive this information. So he talked about this to one of his friends, and he said, well, okay, the hard thing to do, but this friend said, well, I'll help you do this so you can do this 10-year fast, we call it. And after the 10 years, these lights came again, and these people came and told him to buy a typewriter and get paper. And Newborough did this, and then every morning, sometime before morning, he would sit at typewriters, and his fingers would just move automatically, typing at an incredible rate of speed. And I can't remember what it was. Again, if you look at what my dad wrote, you could tell how fast he said he was typing.
Well, yeah, we're talking about, 1880 or something, so you can imagine the typewriters of that period. I think he said like 90 words a minute, which would have been impossible on those machines. But he had quite a following for a while. He lived in upstate New York. He was a dentist. He lived in upstate New York, and that part of the country was very active in paranormal phenomena. Of course, that's where the Fox sisters first heard their tappings on the wall, right? And then, of course, the Church of Mormon was actually started there. That's where the visions took place, and the golden tablets were supposedly founded. So the creation of OWASPE kind of wasn't out of sync with what was going on at that time. But many people actually consider OWASPE one of the most important books ever written, and supposedly it was channeled, for use of a better term, by these beings, celestial beings, who told about the history of the planet Earth and the universe going back, thousands and thousands of years. And it had a lot of material there, not on Atlantis or Lemuria, but on Pan, which was supposed to be a lost continent that existed in the Pacific.
Yes. That's the basic history of the Earth. And also, it was been written in two parts, the book was. The top part of the page was the history of the what Lossi calls the lower heavens, which that they say influence the people on Earth. And then it corresponds with the history on Earth. So basically, if there's wars in the lower heavens, eventually there's going to be wars on Earth. Going back to Shaver, because Dad would always say that, well, that's similar to what Shaver says. Shaver says we're influenced. And then Waspy says, yes, we are influenced by these beings. You want to call them spirits or whatever you want to call them. But that is the basic text of the book. And again, it has some portion of the book on cosmology. It has many scientific, what we call scientific statements, which have come true over the years. And I just remember several years ago when one of the Hubble telescopes pictures was shown on the news. And I looked at it and I said, I've seen this picture before. And I went over to Waspy and there the same picture was. And here they, on news, it's a picture that's never been seen before.
And describe what this picture is all about, Ray.
Oh, I need to talk to him for a second. I'll get the book and look at it and I'll be able to tell you right. I'll be gone for about 10 seconds.
Okay, well, he's gone for 10 seconds. We're going to describe what's going on here, ladies and gentlemen, with Waspy. Some call it a Bible of some sort. It was received by automatic writing. It was typed. And the book has appeared in various and sundry editions over the years and supposedly contains some fascinating information. Tim?
I believe that Ray's edition, he had the original one. He had gotten a copy of it in a photo reproduction. That edition had about 850 pages. Now, the one we published has all the other added material that the channel had added subsequently, so it comes up to about 1,250 pages with a lot of footnotes and so forth. And then there were the portraits of the spirits or the angels that actually delivered the messages. I think there were eight of them altogether. Ours is the only edition that actually publishes them in color. But the dentist now, it just totally obviously changed his life. You know, he became spiritually involved, if you want to say this. And one of the messages that was delivered by these spiritual beings was that we should take care of the children and the orphans. So they actually had a colony. They set up a headquarters in New Mexico and set up a community there where they actually accepted orphans. I don't know, they had a couple hundred orphans at one point. But then around the turn of the century, or maybe slightly before, the economy turned bad, and some of the buildings, I think, are still there, are not in very good condition. But the organization, you know, one thing I always liked about Waspy Gene was it was not preachy. You either accepted it or bought into it. They didn't go out and bang on people's doors and try to convert them. It's a history book. Kind of merged with a little bit of spirituality to it. And there are stations all over the country, perhaps all over the world, that still read the book and discuss the book and have meetings. I think there's even one here in Brooklyn, even though I have never attended any of the group meetings. And if you go to YouTube and type in Waspy, which is spelled O-A-H-S-P-E, I think there are even some low-budget, like, documentaries that have been made about the book and about the teachings of the book.
Okay, I'm back now, too. And what it says in the book, The Fourth Age of the Vortex, and Waspy says the creation of, like, the galaxies and everything are all, they call the force of the vortex, or what we call gravity. And as planets and stars are formed, they are influenced by this vortex. In different stages of their life, they exhibit different shapes and everything. So this photo from Hubble showed what they said was, I believe, two stars or something in a certain period of their life. And I just remember seeing this in a Waspy. So it wasn't the first time this picture has been shown.
So the sense here is that there's things in a Waspy that somehow predict future discoveries. Anything else?
Our new, what we are now learning as in science.
Sure.
Our science is proving for us. I don't like to use the word science because many people use the word science, I think, not correctly. science is good to prove things and or to mass produce something or something like that. But science doesn't always isn't always good at showing everything. Something that happens very, very rarely or only once at a time, science can't prove, but it certainly doesn't mean that it didn't exist.
We're talking about here repeatable events. So science works best with repeatable events, but a single phenomenon or something that happens at random that you can't predict doesn't work so well.
But it still doesn't mean that it's not true, and our lifespan may be not long enough for us to prove it that way. But just because you can't prove it readily, people just tend to ignore things, too. People don't like to go out on a limb a lot of times, and that's definitely what Shaver did.
Well, that's part of the problem with the UFO mystery is the fact that you really can't predict when the UFO sightings are occurring. You might have areas where you have a lot of sightings, and maybe you'll see another, maybe you won't, and quite often in the UFO field, where you do have a wave of sightings in a specific area, as soon as lots of people start looking there, they're no longer around. So if you can't predict it's going to be there, what do you do?
Yeah, and what I'm waiting for now, seeing everybody has a cell phone with a camera throughout the world, we should be getting more pictures. And I'm not sure, Tim probably knows this more, are we getting more pictures now? They're just not reporting on the news, or is just they're in a lull? So that's what I'm waiting for. There should be pictures.
I don't think we're seeing the type of increase that you would expect based on the proliferation of technology.
We got much more to do. With Raymond B. Palmer, Tim Beckley, with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Injuries, slow healing, aches and pains, constipation, weakness, fatigue are all common the older one gets. The progressive deterioration of the body that occurs almost universally the older one gets can partly to significantly be prevented with conscientious attention to nutrition. If the Hanselmen can play rugby in their 90s, then it is possible for everyone in North America to experience a more youthful life as well. One key ingredient to warding off aging and reversing some of it is the type and quality of protein consumed. All protein foods or supplements you currently consume are heat damaged, destroying 50 to 75% of your ability to utilize the bodybuilding amino acids. One World Way is not heat damaged and allows your body to utilize 100% of the amino acids. This feat no one else has achieved. The results to your health can be amazing. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.